our first job, we bid on a pipeline from Baton Rouge, Louisiana to Charlotte. It was called looping, building a parallel pipeline to something called Plantation Pipeline. We lost $800,000 on that job, which really woke us up. Fortunately, we had two jobs going in Venezuela and one in Bolivia, where we made a better profit combined to offset the $800,000. So that kept us in business.
Didn't you have this issue going? You had the oldsters and the youngsters.
Yes. All of the people out in the field and superintendents and tractor drivers and the welders, well, most of them were older than I was. When I went to work, I was called Johnny.
But then your uncles who sold you the business were older, and yep. I suppose you were obviously concerned about proving yourself, so here you're jumping into your first projects, and you're losing $800,000.
Yep.
So how does that go over? Did they comment to you about it?
Yeah, of course they did. But don't forget, we made more than that on other projects we were doing at the same time. So at the end of the year, we made a profit.
Okay.
But it was pretty scary. In those days, $800,000 was a lot of money, particularly when you didn't have it. The bankers were a little concerned about it, too. But as it turned out, it was a wonderful time to start in the business because there was a lot of work to do. In 4 years, we paid them off for the equipment and repaid the bank.
So you had days or nights when that first happened wondering, uh-oh, are we ever going to make this?
We certainly did.
Full of self-doubt, I'm sure.
But you know the difference now, growing up in those days and just having come back from the war. In wartime, we were thrown with a lot more responsibility early than some of the youngsters that grow up today. I became a company commander at age 24. And I think the E-War experience made me grow up a little faster, too.
Yeah. Isn't there a story on how you spent some time in jail in a pipeline project back in 1941, Florida to Tennessee?
Yeah, you have done some research. Yeah, I've been in jail twice. The first time, this is an anecdote, this was in 1940 when I was running the survey party from Port St. Joe, Florida to Chattanooga. You know, pipelines had eminent domain that they could condemn property, but you had to be able to describe the property before you could go to the court and have the judge condemn it. This farmer down near Americus, Georgia, wouldn't let us get on his property, but we had to have a map of it to describe it so that it could be condemned. And I was chief of party then, and the lawyer in Atlanta said, well, can't you sneak on there and do it? And I said, sure, we can try. I said, you know, it's summertime, it gets light about 4:30, quarter of 5. We can probably get across there in 45 minutes. So organized, got up real early, got out there, and the moment we could see, we started surveying a mile and a half across this farm. We got within 100 yards of the last fence we had to cross, and there the farmer stood chewing on a piece of hay with his shotgun under his arm like this. He said, I done told you boys not to come across my land here. And we told him how sorry we were and we'd never do it again. And surely we could do something to make amends. He said, no, I done called the sheriff. You just stay where you are. And we started walking on. He raised the shotgun. We stopped. Sheriff came. He put us in jail. We stayed in jail all day. And about 10 o'clock that night, we'd finally gotten word to headquarters in Atlanta. They'd bailed us out. And as happens in Georgia, they kept extending. The war came along, and they finally dropped the whole thing. The other time was back when we started moving into Iraq. I would sort of stop a conversation at a cocktail party and say, well, I'm probably the only one here that's ever spent the night in jail in Iraq. That would get everybody's attention. In fact, I did spend the night in jail in Iraq, but it was in 1947. I was working for Williams Brothers then, who was invited to bid on a pipeline job from Kirkuk to the Mediterranean from the oil fields there. So they sent me over to take a look at it to prepare a bid on the proposed pipeline. I went over and got a crew together. We went out, and that part of Iraq is just like this dining room table here, a perfectly flat desert. We got a jeep and reconnoitered and investigate all the problems, and we were out there for a couple of days, and on the second day we decided we're almost finished, and if we work hard, we'll get through before dark. We had a compass with us. We know which way Baghdad was, so we worked till dark and got our study done. We were probably about 70 miles from Baghdad. Just took off on a compass bearing across the desert towards Baghdad. And then finally, about 50 miles away, we could see the lights up in the clouds dimly, and it was Baghdad. All of a sudden, a couple of 6x6 army trucks came up, one on each side of our jeep with some young soldiers in them with the guns pointing down at us. We didn't speak Farsi and they didn't speak English, but we knew what they wanted. We stopped. They hauled us out of the jeep, threw us in the truck, and drove off to their headquarters and dumped us in their jail, which was sort of like a dungeon down and underground. We spent the night there. About 6 o'clock in the morning, this Iraqi major came in, and all he spoke was French, but I spoke fluent Spanish and a little French. And the gist of it was, what in the hell are you guys doing here? We said, we don't know. Whatever we did, we sure as hell are sorry. We'll never, ever do it again. And it turned out that in the dark, we had driven right across an emergency landing field that the Iraqi Air Force had laid out in the desert. That need be, they'd turn the lights on for a plane to land on, and we didn't even know it was there. These Iraqi Army kids had been stationed out there guarding that for months. And we were the first ones that had ever attacked the field, and they were delighted to catch us and have some action. So they were right and we were wrong. We were friends with the Iraqis then, so the major let us go, and we came home, and that was it.